Hey everyone, this amazing ESO Network show is brought to you by our fine sponsor, Amazon.com. Please remember to shop Amazon for all your geeky needs, no matter what time of the year it is. All you need to do is go to ESOpodcast.com/ESOAmazon or click on the Amazon banner on the ESO Network webpage to go to our e-store. It's the best way to shop and the best way to support this program, and it doesn't cost you anything extra. Okay, that's enough of me babbling for now. Now on with your regular scheduled show.
For years, Dr. Geek has toiled in obscurity, trying to realize the future through the science of applied geekdom. Pressured to prove his theories or lose funding, Dr. Geek has now opened the doors of his amazing laboratory to public participation and public collaboration. With the help of his partner, Mr. Flask, a test subject known as Mr. Creature, and a computer called the Deus Ex Machine, Dr. Geek conducts an investigation into the world of tomorrow, creating the future by discussing it.
Do you want me to turn down the oxygen in the labyrinth?
Oh boy, the things I get to do for science!
That's not a good sound.
And why is this sticky?
Join the discussion at www.drgeeklab.com.
Hello and welcome again to the Monster Sci-Fi Show podcast. I am your host, The Monster, back alive this time. So, it's been a while since I recorded a podcast. The last time I did this was through Siri. So, I hope you weren't too annoyed that I did it through Siri for the last podcast. But, honestly, I felt like crap. And, as I mentioned, I had to have surgery on my shoulder, and no, I did not get a robotic arm, or the metal arm like the Winter Soldier, so I got shortchanged. But I am in recovery mode. It is now about week 3 since my operation. I already had 2 physical therapy sessions, which really hurts. I have now done 3 days straight of running, so I've did about 6 miles in 3 days, and I'm planned to run every day until I go back to work at the end of this month. And I haven't had any coffee or caffeine. That's the other thing that I'm trying to cleanse myself from such things that I've had to deal with in the past, because I really had to really rely on those things to kind of get me through today. So I'm hoping to recover in the next couple of weeks, much stronger, much healthier, and basically more relaxed and calm, because as many of my friends know, that if I go into the November month, I'm going to be basically poor until the end of the holidays, and even then I'm still not in the clear, just because of the holidays, birthdays, anniversaries, Christmas, Hanukkah, my daughter's birthday. Oh my god, it's just a lot of things going on. So I do want to get at least some podcasts at least pre-recorded while I have the time. And Jane and I hopefully will be doing a Doctor Strange podcast. We haven't seen it yet, and we're probably not going to see it together, but separately. But hopefully next week we'll actually get to get together and get this recorded. So I'll hopefully to get that out to you soon. So I am doing a kind of a combo sci-fi news slash I'm going to talk about the opener to The Walking Dead for Season 7, which I really wanted to talk at length about it. I thought about trying to do a commentary for the whole episode. I'm like, this is going to be too much. Considering the episode itself, I'm going to have to not glance over the details, but I want to go over the stuff that I saw and talk about that at length. But it's not going to be the full length of the episode. I don't think you or I could ever go through that again. If you've seen it, then you understand why. So, as always, I'm going to be talking about the big three items that I've encountered this past week. And right off the bat, if you have been waiting for a season 3 of Young Justice, at the time of this recording, maybe 10 minutes ago, I found that news that we are getting a season 3 of Young Justice. So that is big news for me and plenty of other fans that love that series. And honestly, I think the first season was fantastic. The second season was not so great, but again, I really enjoyed watching that series just because it's not that everyone's a sidekick, but basically it's a younger version of all the superheroes in the DC side and their counterparts in which they're forming a group. And if you haven't seen it and you're looking for a great animated series, do yourself a favor and watch it on DVD or watch it on Netflix, wherever you can, just to get caught up, because again, we are getting a season 3 out of this. Now, as to when this is going to happen, there is no note other than it's going to happen, but it doesn't say anything else as to when this will happen. But again, I'll keep you guys apprised of any information about that. The other thing that I want to talk about is that Star Trek The Next Generation comic book, not the TV series, but the comic book is doing a crossover with Aliens. So, for me, I have no problems with crossovers. I love crossovers. The only problem that I may have is just that it just sucks. There are some things that work well. Next Generation and Doctor Who, maybe. But then you have, like, the Green Lantern series with the original Star Trek series. So, I mean, it's kind of a hit and miss, or the Legends of Superheroes meeting the cast of Star Trek. So, I'm not at all against the idea. I love mashups. I love seeing the world come together like this. Hell, I was at a Goodwill store, and I came across a book that I had to replace because years ago, the cats that I had peed on my paperback book, so I had to throw it out and never really got to read it. But the book that I had just gotten replaced, and I know Gene's going to hate this, but this is the one with Star Trek Next Generation with the X-Men called Planet X by Michael Jan Friedman. So I know Gene hates the book. I have to read it just for myself, but again, things like that, I have no issues. I just want to have a good time. I want to see how well it plays well. You know, if we think about it, we want to see like the ultimate series, Star Wars versus Star Trek. You can do a series like that. I would love to see that kind of crossover, and I would love to see it happen. But in all fairness, you're not going to see like a major character going to get killed off. That's never going to happen. Another crossover was X-Men with the Teen Titans, Marvel and DC. That's also great. One of the better stories. But the one thing that I hate is just when it's one team that is being manipulated or controlled and they have to fight against another team. And of course, they don't want to fight each other, but that's how it ends. It's a draw. And I kind of hate that. I would love to see some kind of consequences. But again, because it's a crossover, you're not going to get much in the way of a satisfying ending. Much like Aliens versus Predator in the first movie, it was a basic tie. You had one alien being killed, another predator being killed off. Tit for tat. And then it never really clarified that issue. Or Freddy versus Jason. Jason can kick, you know, Freddy's ass in the real world, but in the Dreamland world, Freddy rules. So again, another draw. But it was fun to actually see them interact. So again, crossovers are one of my favorites, and I'm actually kind of looking forward to this, but we'll see what happens. Considering I did write for my library program years ago, Star Wars meets Aliens. So I had come up with a story. My friend Arnold, who had worked at the library at the time, he drew the illustrations. So he came up with the idea. So again, it's not unheard of, and I'm surprised we don't have more of that to begin with. So we'll see what happens with that. All right, so for the last part, I'm going to be talking about Supergirl. If you have not been watching Supergirl, I advise you to really catch up. It's a good series. And if you know, it was on the CBS network last year, moved to the CW, which is doing phenomenally well with its ratings. And the latest news is that we're going to get a cyborg Superman. So I believe this is going to be for episode 7, so it's just around the corner, practically. Now, there is going to be, of course, some changes, because the cyborg Superman that we have known about from the comics was from the death of Superman. So in this case, because of the storyline, and I'm not going to give you any more details other than Supergirl is out to rescue someone, in Cadmus, there is a supposed cyborg Superman. Now, since season 1 and a little bit in season 2, it's been rumored that Supergirl's father, her Earth father, played by Dean Cain, is still alive, or at least being held in Cadmus. So, it seems to be indicating that it might be a chance for Dean Cain to put on his S, like he used to do in the story of The Adventures of Lois and Clark. So we'll see if that does pan out, and if it does, I'll be really, really happy for that, because it's finally good to see Dean Cain doing something of a little bit more of a major role other than playing the father and pretty much a lot of the backstory flashbacks. But all in all, I've been really, really super happy with the series. The only negative thing I would have to say, there were some changes from the move from the CBS to the CW. We lost Cat Grant, which was, at first I wasn't crazy about her, but I've grown to really adore her. But without her there, it just seems a bit different. And the headquarters of the DEO, which was out in the desert, have moved into a more metro location and pretty much in an office building. So I thought that was, okay. I know you want to make things a lot closer and not rely on the cave interior. It's fine. Linda Carter is in this as President of the United States. So again, there are a lot of good things about watching Supergirl. So I have not had any qualms about this. I can't wait to see when we're going to get that super crossover with Arrow and the Flash and her. So, again, I think this is a great series that's worth your time. But I really would like to see Dean Cain be the cyborg Superman. So, fingers crossed on that. So, now we're going to take things a different direction. We're going to go a little bit dark, which I'm going to be talking about the season opener for The Walking Dead. So, here's your spoiler alert. But it's been several weeks, so honestly, if you don't know what has happened by now, there's no point of me saying this. But in any case, this is your one and only spoiler alert. So with that, Negan is going to take us into a brief break, and I will be back in a moment to talk about The Walking Dead season opener for season 7.
Eeny, meeny, miny, moe, catch the tiger. Bye. This time.
All right, so, like I said, this is your review of season 7, episode 1. Now, we see the opening shot of Rick with blood splash against his face. And then he says to Negan, "I'm going to kill you. Not today, not tomorrow, but one day." But, you know, Negan comes in with the bloody Lucille bat. And that goes really towards his character, because that's what Rick does. He may take a hit. He may be knocked down, but he will come back. Now, at this point, we still don't know who had been killed, but we do know someone had been killed by Negan with the bat that, again, it's named Lucille, covered in barbed wire. So, Negan decides to set an example and to teach Rick a lesson, in which he takes him into the RV and drives off. So, basically, we find out later on that after Negan basically wants to teach him a lesson, he has Rick's axe and he throws it on top of the RV and kicks Rick out and tells him to go, you know, get my axe. Basically, you know, you're making him so that he's abused and break him down mentally. But while this is going on, you know, Rick is having really bad flashbacks of what had just happened. And like with any trauma, he can't shut off his mind. So he starts seeing everyone being slaughtered in his head. And we're to believe that that also is going on in real time. So Rick does get the axe and he does fight off, you know, lots of zombies. But in the process, you know, he just wants Rick to understand where he belongs, that he's no longer the leader of his clan. So it's a lesson that you thought it would have been, that's it. But they come in and basically we don't get a sense of who had been killed at this point, you know, from anyone that is being held hostage. But we do get to see that, unfortunately, as I not so much predicted, but I strongly believe that if you're going to set an example, it would not be a child and it would not be a woman. You would have to take out the strongest person that you had on your side, on your squad. So it would not be necessarily Rick. You would not take out the leader, although logically you could have done that. But it does make sense to take out your biggest guy. So Abraham was it, and he was a goner. And it was really brutal, beyond brutal. But again, I had kind of prepared myself and I kind of felt that was going on. But what caught me off guard was the second time Daryl started to fight back and got a good shot at Negan, and then that's when Negan had decided to put down someone else. So at this time, you know, I had just had my operation, my arm, for just a couple of days, and I had to have ice cream, Ben and Jerry's pint of ice cream. And I'm eating this and I'm watching this and I'm just like, what the hell? Glenn got knocked off and I got really upset and I even got disgusted because it was really graphic. And normally I'm okay with things of that nature being that I can handle it without any problems. But I actually put down my pint of ice cream. So I'm watching Abraham getting his head bashed in, but when I saw Glenn getting his head bashed in, I stopped eating the ice cream, and I thought, what the hell? That's not really what I would do. But I was just so taken aback by him. So before we get the whole thing with Glenn, you know, we also get that scene later on, I think. I'm getting out of context here, so I do apologize. But with Rick having the look that Negan does not like, he decides to teach him a lesson and have him use the axe that he had Rick retrieve and cut off his son's arm. So, right at the point in which he was about to do it, Negan had stopped Rick. And he said, "Now that's the look I want. That's the look that I want to see, that you're now broken." And basically, oh my God. It really does leave you heartbroken, because we lost a dear character. And it's not that it was unexpected. It was as predicted in the comics that Negan was going to kill Glenn. Now, there have been changes in which situations have been changed, like the death of Beth, Rick's wife, was killed by zombies as opposed to bleeding out when she gave birth. So things are just basically okay with the changes. So I'm thinking, well, I wasn't expecting Glenn to be killed. Now, overall, it's a great episode. And again, Harry Dean Morgan is such one of the best characters that I've seen on The Walking Dead in such a long time. And I thought the governor was bad in the comics. And even though the governor in the series, we didn't get that big initial payoff with the big battle between the governor and Rick, when we do see, oh my God, I'm blanking out on his name. Merle. Not Merle. It's Herschel. Sorry, it's Herschel. So when the governor beheads Herschel, it's very horrific, but it's clean and it's quick, and unfortunately, Herschel's head was still alive, or at least it became reanimated later on. But in no way, shape, or form that was I prepared to see the brutality that Negan would do. And it's one of those situations in which I can see this just once. I don't want to see this again. I'm good. I got it. There's no more. I don't need any. I don't need a reminder. So, I briefly looked over the episode just at different points, just so I get a sense of where things were. But my God, this series could not get any darker than what it is, and I'm really eager to see how it goes from this point on. Now, having said all that, there are some people that just had enough of the series. They've had enough of the cliffhanger ending that they had last season, or the killing, the shooting of Daryl, the fake dumpster dive from Glenn, or Beth being rescued but then being killed at the very end of her rescue. I kind of understand and I sympathize, you know, kind of that yin yang. You mess with me once, screw you. Mess with me twice, I ain't watching this shit anymore. Oops, sorry. But come on. This is something that if you're a fan, you're willing to go through the emotional distress that the series goes through. It's never promised that it was going to be easy, it wasn't going to be clean. And for that, I give him credit. Yeah, it may have at times sound and may have looked kind of gimmickery, yeah, that's a word, about, you know, like the case of Glenn's death being kind of like faked, but then the Talking Dead, which the show came on afterwards, didn't have Glenn on there. So that was kind of hinted as to, is he dead? Is he really not alive? I mean, it just went on for a bit. It happens. Hell, they killed off Brian and the Family Guy for a couple episodes, and people lost their mind. And that's an animated series. Now, of course, he's brought back. So, you know, it happens. You don't like it? Fine. You don't want to watch it? that's fine. The show is doing very well, whether you like it or not. So I'm on board. I'm eager to read more about the storyline in the comics. But again, I don't want to read ahead of time so I know what's going on. Right now, I stopped at the fall of Alexandria. So again, I have yet to even meet Negan in the comics. But again, I'm very happy with The Walking Dead. I can't say enough. The only thing I would say, and this is going back to the actor, Harry Dean Morgan, that since he was Thomas Wayne in the Batman v Superman movie in the very beginning, which he gets killed off, they talked about the Flashpoint paradox, in which the Flash TV series is doing that. If they ever did something like that, it could be possible that he can be the Batman in that alternate future in which Flash goes back and resets the future in which Bruce had died and not his parents. And I can see a different kind of Batman that he would bring to that screen, and I would love to ever see that happen. But it's dark, and he is such an ass, and I thought the comedian was such a bad person, but Negan is far superior in every respect. So again, kudos to everyone who is making this, to the actors who really take us for a ride. I'm such a big fan, and even though there are a lot of things that I refuse to watch all the way through or can only watch once, I'm willing to go along with this ride and see how it ends, and hopefully will not end just like in the comics. So, all right. So on that note, and this is going to be my little soapbox just for a moment. Today is election day, and in about 10 hours from now, the polls will close here on the East Coast, which I am located on. We'll get our election results. Whether you or not you like your candidates or you don't like who is running for office, you cannot complain if you don't get out and vote. So take the time, if you have not voted, and vote. Because when it does come in and you don't like who the candidate is that's running for, is going to be the president of the United States, and you did not vote, then you have no right to complain. All right. So, thank you very much for listening to the Monster Sci-Fi Show. Again, you can visit me on the various social networks. Find me on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, everywhere. You can also email me at monstersci-fi show@gmail.com. So, again, sorry for the long delay, but you know why. So, that's it. I got nothing else. Go home. I'll be here, at home, waiting to get my arm better. Alright. So, thank you very much for listening to the Monster Sci-Fi Show. Sci-fi, from a certain point of view. Good night.
You've been listening to Earth Station 1, a weekly podcast that explores the many worlds of all things geek. Please write us at esopodcast@gmail.com or call us at 404-963-9057. And if we find what you say interesting, we'll put it up on the air. If you've enjoyed our show, please rate us or leave feedback for us up on iTunes. And while you're there, subscribe to our show or any of the ESO Network podcasts. We can also be found up on Stitcher Radio or wherever fine podcasts are found. ESO is also available up on most social media sites like Facebook, Twitter, and so many more. The show is brought to you by the fine folks at the ESO Amazon.com eStore, where right from our website you can find all kind of geeky goodness. And if you get something up there, you also help support the station. ESO also has a Zazzle store to buy cool ESO merchandise and such. Show your ESO love with something from Zazzle. To learn more about ESO, our website is esopodcast.com. The show is produced by Calico Productions. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you here next time on the Earth Station 1 podcast. Peace.